And show you how God has been faithful in your life. And that's what happened with me. I'm thankful that God gave me an opportunity to see how he has worked in my life. And that's what I wanted to talk about this morning, was God's faithfulness. And when you get to be my age, there's a lot of things to be to thank God for. I like what Renee said, that I am a broken person, except that God... I was once walked in darkness, and now I am walking in his marvelous light, and that's thanks to God. And so a dear friend of mine once gave me a plaque that said, "Your story matters, tell it." So I'm just going to tell my story from the beginning until now, and I hope that somebody is encouraged by the things that they hear me say. So I've written it out in big words so I don't lose my place. First page already. I've asked my dear friend Donna at my memorial to sing two songs for me, and they were "A Great Is Thy Faithfulness," which was my song from the very beginning, from when I first began to believe, and the other one was "Crazy" by Patsy Cline. But now I've actually replaced that with another song that's called "Lord, You Have Been Faithful. All my life you have been so, so good." And we don't always see that, because sometimes we feel lost or alone, or we feel as though God doesn't hear us or see us. But when we look back, we realize that God has been good my whole life, not maybe in the way that I wanted, but in the way that he wanted. So I'll just start at the beginning. You know, my name is Linda Vance, and my husband's Bernie. And we have been married for 44 years. There you are. I know it's been painful, but really. And I have lived in mission now for 42 years of that time. I was born in southern Ontario in a little town near Camp Borden, which is an army base. It had 500 people in that town. There were three of us sisters, an older sister and a younger sister, and we lived in my grandfather's house. When my mother was 6 years old, she was divorced from my father. There were a lot of things that happened after the war with people who got involved with things that were difficult, and they were divorced at a time when no one was divorced. In a small town of 500 people, everybody sure knew you and what you were, what was up. And I think that at that point, shame kind of came and wanted to enter into me, something I had to deal with a lot of years later, feeling that shame of not, although it had nothing to do with me, but when she did remarry, when I was 10 years old, we left that small town, and we moved every year for 5 years in a row in March, because my stepfather grew tobacco, and I worked in tobacco my whole life, if there's anything you want to know about that. But he was working his way up to getting his own farm, so he moved in March every year. So that means in the school year, you moved in March, and not just like from Mission to Abbotsford, it was like hundreds of miles away. And I think that on top of that shame that had taken root in my life, there was also this feeling of separateness, of feeling lonely, of knowing that there was more but never knowing what it was. And I didn't know it, because I tend to be fairly outgoing, and I kind of used humor and to deal with it, not knowing that those things were working in my life. I did well in school. I loved school. There's so much for notes, eh? What page are you on? I don't know, right? I always felt like there was more, and I wanted more. We sang that song, "More, I Want More of You." And Teresa said to me this morning, "I've been praying, Lord, I want more of you." And that's what I think. I used to think that I want more. I want to be part of more things. I want to do more things. I want to be more things, you know. I always wanted to be taller, never happened. But I just say, I once walked in darkness, but now I walk in the light, because when I left home at 18 years old, I had a very protected life, you know, curfew, my mother watching out the window, who's bringing you home, you know, get in there at 11 right on the dot. But when I left home when I was 18 to go into nursing, because I went away to Oshawa, and I entered into nursing, and I lived with girls in a residence for 3 years. And you know, like, if you're if you've lived a kind of restricted life, there's something that happens when you go into residence with 40 other girls. And I never smoked, but even if you didn't smoke, everybody in the room was smoking. So I learned to smoke, and I smoked, and I lived the life that you hear about nurses from residence. I lived a very, I just kind of was out of control. I know that I was out of control. That's why when I hear about people whose lives are maybe out of control now, I understand. I understand. I was not a perfect person. I did lots of things because my friends were doing them, because, you know, there's always guys out there, there's always parties, there's always all kinds of things going on, and though I had never been a drinker when I was at home, that's what we did. Drank rum and coke and smoked cigarettes and went to parties. And I loved nursing, though, and I was very, very thankful. During that time, there was a girl in my class. Her name was Liz, who was going to be a missionary, and I wanted to know so much. I wanted to know, what is it that makes you want to be a missionary? There was that longing in me to know more. And she never told me. She was not ashamed, but she just kind of, I'll tell you about it sometime. She didn't want to tell me. There was no boldness in her. And another girl, my best friend, Joan, who was a Catholic and gave me a rosary once. I don't know why she gave it to me or why I asked for it, but I wore it around my neck. I don't know, because I was just so naive and just so out of it, I guess. I don't know what. But I, because I wanted, there was God calling me, and I didn't know it until I look back and see that. I look back now and see that God, after nursing, I went to Europe with her, and she said, we were there for 6 months, and she said, I couldn't believe it. We could not pass a cathedral without going in to see, because I wanted to know, God, if you're around, where are you? Can I ever know you? Am I worth your knowing? That is how I felt. And when I was sitting letting the Holy Spirit speak to me, I realized that's what I was saying. And about that time, I realized that God wasn't interested in me. He wasn't interested in me, and I was tired of looking. I was tired of looking for some reality that because knowing that I was longing for something and not knowing what it was and not having it met by God, there is a certain emptiness that comes with that, an emptiness that comes with looking for something that you can't find. And when I returned from Europe, I moved into a house with some other girls. There were six of us. And one morning at 9 o'clock, after I'd worked a night, we were drinking baby duck. And I hate to even admit that, but we used to buy it by the case because it was so cheap. And it's pretty classy wine. 98 cents if you bought it by the bottle, and I think $10 for the case. But we were, after you work nights and you drink wine, it kind of, you know, it just gave you you're kind of brave. Anyway, Bernie came to work on our house, and I met him that morning, and we kind of made a date to go out with a whole group of people, and that was the beginning of our story. I was 24 years old, and I met Bernie, and I fell in love with him and his family, because they just had such a strong family unit, and they cooked together and did things together. And we moved to Vancouver. Bernie moved out to Vancouver and asked me to come out here, so I came out, and we got married in 1975. And we got married in 1975 so we wouldn't forget the year. I don't see it, so that's a... just something for the rest of you to know. If you get married, forget so easily. I worked for we used to call it human resources, but the welfare department when I lived in Vancouver. And I saw a lot of seedy things in Vancouver. Boy, even when I look back on it now, I think you see those things. How many people knew about God and didn't tell somebody else? Who else? saw that someone was in a desperate situation and didn't say anything to them, you know, like just being in a situation, going to see somebody once, and when I got in the door, they released their dogs, and I was on the porch, and I couldn't get out of the porch for about a half an hour, and I remember saying, God, you better send somebody along here, even though I didn't know who God was or what he would do for me, but I did get out, and obviously, yes, almost unscathed, yeah. So I still fear dogs. I'm afraid of dogs. And, boy, all those pages that are even looking at my notes here. In 1977, in August, the same month that Elvis died, I remember that very clearly because I used to love Elvis. I don't know why. But he was from my age group. And I remember being in my home in Mission and thinking, Elvis died, who am I going to talk to about this? Because I had a brand new son. Our son was born in May and we moved out here in August. I didn't know anybody. I should phone somebody from Vancouver and tell them that I was sorry that Elvis died. So that September, I met a girl from up the street who had, because I bought something from her, and she had a son the same age as mine, and she invited me to go to the United Church and help with an organization called MAX. It was Mission Adult Care, something like that. We would prepare meals and just have a ministry time for seniors. And I loved it. And I got to meet some people there who were real to me, people in the church who, I'm not sure that, nobody ever spoke to me about a real relationship, but they were in the church, they were active in there, and they talked to me, and I felt they were real and I could understand them. After we lived on Keystone, 1 year. I was kind of an angry person, and I was really, it took me a while to get over the anger that I felt, that Bernie and I had wanted to move to Quadra Island. Who knows why? I don't know. Sounded romantic when you're from the East Coast. And Bernie one day bought our Keystone property from a man that he liked, and he didn't tell me about it until afterwards. And I was annoyed about that, you know, I didn't want that place. It had no view of the ocean. It was just trees, and you know, like there was nothing there. But God, in God's faithfulness to me, I see how he kind of had a path set out for me. And it was after 1 year of my being angry. And I was angry, but you can hide anger for a long time. And Bernie decided to go back to work with a friend, like he was working, but he decided to go into this business with a friend, and I thought, well, I better get a job then. That'll be my responsibility, because I wasn't ever going to go back to work again. A nice thought. And I went back to work at Extended Care and Mission the day that it opened. I decided that I would just work part-time there. And it was there, not on Quadra Island, not in Vancouver, but in Mission, where I went back to work, that I met two beautiful girls who all they talked about was how they started to know God, how they were believers now. And you know how you can get tired of that kind of stuff. Come on, guys. Like, you know, let's talk about something else. Like, but I love those girls, and they were very good to me. They were younger than I was, because I was already. And they, one night, in the middle of the night, I can still remember the conversation where I was sitting, where they were sitting, and I said, what does it actually mean to be born again? And you know, if you've ever been in that position and somebody said to you, what does it mean to be born again? You're thinking, I've hit pay dirt here, like let's get, and they leaped across. They said later that they didn't leap across, that it was something I perceived in the spirit. And they started telling me about it, and then they invited me to go to church, and I was really interested. I was interested because here were people that I knew. Okay, there we are. I knew I wouldn't stick to it, but I was very interested. And then my friend Sue, she phoned me one night in September, and I was 8 months pregnant with my second son, with our second son, and she said, I've got some tickets to Burden Bearers, and my husband can't go. Do you want to come? You know, and when you look at it from that end, you think, okay, I'm going to get out tonight, but when you look back on it, this was part of what God would plan for me, that I went to the Burden Bearers seminar, and I don't know whether any of you remember those, they're Burden Bearers. And it was like in a, it was in a church here, right? Yeah, and there was Hardy, someone named Hardy. But anyway, he called up a couple of people. I was interested in the Lord, but I hadn't made the connection yet. And he called this woman up to give her testimony. And this was in 1979, 40 years ago, just a couple of weeks ago now. That woman got up, and she was just a young woman. Her name was Corrine, and she gave a testimony like, I have a good husband, I have a new car, I have a new house, I have two beautiful children, but there was something missing. I wanted more, just like I had said in my heart, I want more. And there were neighbors to her left, and they seemed to have something. She didn't even know what it was. She didn't even think they were very special, but they had something. And she asked them, what is it that you've got that I need? And they told her that they loved the Lord and would she like to receive him. And she was just talking in a normal, she wasn't sort of a great speaker or anything, but while she was talking to me, while she was talking, I was sitting like back there in the Rabel's row about there. The church opened up, like it opened like this, and there was like a, it was like her light was right on me, like. And I was just thinking, I wonder, nobody else kind of looks like they've been, like, what is this? And it was the most amazing thing. It was like there was light that I hadn't seen before. And there was God who knew my heart. And when we went home, I remember it was the end of September, and it was still warm outside, and we went and sat in her porch, and I told her about this, and she said, maybe you need to make a declaration. Maybe you need to tell the Lord that you want him to come into your life, and I did. So that was the night, September the 20th. It was September the 25th, 1979. And when I look back at it now, I see that God saved me at just the right time, just at his time, when he was faithful to me to say, you know, you've been calling out to me, not even knowing who you were calling out to or what, but here I am. I am what you needed, and here I am. And I'm going to tell this story about Bernie. He won't mind. I didn't tell him I was going to say this, but I wrote it in my notes, so I knew I was going to say it. But about that time, you know, things were, our marriage was just, we didn't have a good marriage. It's kind of too much to talk about, but too much. There were just things going wrong in our marriage, you know, like both of us kind of wanting to go different ways. I was wanting to be a mother, like, you know, there were just things going on. And about that time, I was out in the garden, just after I'd accepted the Lord, like that spring afterwards, and I cried out to the Lord, Lord, why did you even let me marry him? And God spoke in an audible voice to me and said, you would not have listened to me. And I thought, you're right. And I started to laugh. I was just laughing, like, why would I blame God for something I wouldn't have listened to? I wouldn't have listened. I was marrying him because I was in love and I wanted to be with him, you know, but I didn't look forward to what would be the best thing for us. And he told me also that divorce was not an option for us, so I better tell Bernie that. And I made a date with Bernie, and we went out to the restaurant. There was only a couple in Mission at the time. And I told him that God had told me that divorce was not an option for us. And, you know, because God is so good, he's so good to me, so good to us, that there were many times when I thought, because I was still an angry person, that I would be divorced, and I was not willing to, to go against what I had told him. God said to me, I didn't want to. I know God can look after himself, but I know why God told me that. I don't know that he's ever told that to anybody else. You did? And it's what kept you during the time when you wanted to. I was not going to sort of do that. God, you told me that, and I'm going to stick to it. And it was up and down kind of things that were going on. One night when I just decided I'm going to go and stay in my friend's apartment. She had an apartment, and I was going to go rent it. And while I was away it only ended up being for 4 days, Bernie made an appointment to see our pastor at the time, it was Jake. And He accepted the Lord that night because there was no reason not to. There's no reason not to. If anybody is thinking that there might be a reason not to accept the Lord into your life, there is no reason. If you think that you're anybody, you are not, because in one moment, your life can be taken from you. It can change dramatically. People can be taken from you. You can become ill. And who would give you the strength that you needed except the Lord? He is so much greater, and he says that in our weakness, he is strong. And I see that the weaker I get, and I am getting weaker, that the God is stronger in me. It's all I want. I want more of him, more every day, more of his faithfulness. I should probably, how much more I can say? Okay. There's just a couple more things that I just wanted to share during this time. During the time that I was a believer, I think about my good friends, Donna and Val, who have encouraged me for 40 years. And we need friends. We need somebody who understands us, who knows all the everythings, and yet still loves us. We became involved with the GLOW, and in Women's GLOW, we practiced, we operated in the gifts of the Spirit much, very much. And we saw a lot of things happen in the Spirit. So I had an opportunity to see that happen. You know, the Holy Spirit works in incredible ways, and not everyone has had an opportunity to experience that because things maybe got a little bit whack a little bit. And so, but we did get to see that. We got to see God giving a word, God giving a song, God bringing healing. And we've heard some incredible stories of healing. There's just one other thing I want to share here about all the things. When you get to be my age, and I'm not going to exactly tell you, you can guess. There are so many things, layer upon layer, line upon line, that God teaches you every day. And I would have to say, if one of my biggest life lessons was don't judge anybody, because we don't know what they've been through and where they're going. Only God knows. And he doesn't call us to judge, but to encourage and to love. And that's what God has helped me to do, is to be an encourager when I wanted to judge, and I repent of every time that I ever did. A few years ago, my mother passed away. She was 91 years old, and I loved my mom. And I had told my friend that I would drive to Edmonton with her because she had to see her family, and that I would just fly home from Edmonton to Toronto to visit my mom, because that's where. Because she didn't want to drive by herself, and my mom was failing at that point. She had some heart problems. On the 18th of October, we arrived in Edmonton, and we spent the night, and then the next morning, she dropped me off at the airport to fly home. And she had a VW car, and she let me drive it most of the way to Edmonton. I don't know why, because she's like a speed demon, and I'm not, and she let me drive her VW. I knew where all the things were on the car. So she drops me off at the airport. I'm standing in the airport, and my sister calls me on my cell phone. I just want to tell you, Mom died during the night. And you won't have an opportunity to see her. And if I had flown home the day before, I would have. But I just said, God, I don't know what your purpose is in this. But I got home. I was all by myself because Bernie wasn't going to come with me that time. And I was on the plane, and I couldn't cry. I didn't know the man sitting next to me. And I was just alone with God, just asking him to minister to me, to heal me right then, because I felt sad. And when I got to the airport in Toronto, I rented a car. I go to get my car, and what do I get? A VW, the same as my friend had let me drive for the 12 hours the day before. And I thought, God, that's amazing. I've never gotten a VW before. I didn't even think they rented them at the car rental place. I got into the car. The person before me was obviously my height, because I didn't even have to adjust the seat. And the radio came on, and it was set for praise radio. Praise radio. And I sat in the car. I had a little bit of a cry, because I thought, here I'm feeling so sad and lost and abandoned, maybe, I don't know. And God is showing me that he knew what I would need. And there was praise radio, the car I knew how to drive. And like, you know, man, I don't mind driving, but I just got out onto the freeway and I got down to my mom's place. No problems at all. It was just perfect. God was so good to me. He didn't let me have any stress regarding that. And when at mom's memorial, because I got to be there for that, he showed me how we gain wisdom from people. How we gain wisdom, and he showed me the things that I had learned from my mother, the wisdom that I had gained from my mother, and I was thankful for that, because we all leave a legacy of wisdom to our children. I often think about what our children will say about me, and I hope that they would say that I was an encourager, that I did what I could when I could, and even though I made mistakes, I recognized them. My kids saved all the I'm sorry cards. They'd have boxes of them. Anyway, I'm just going to say this really quickly. I've been recently diagnosed with osteoporosis, which I've had with severe osteoporosis now. And I broke my arm in September, and since then I've discovered that I have some fractures in my back as well, and so I have a lot of pain. This morning I woke up feeling kind of sorry for myself, because I think there was a lot of things going on, and I got a text from a friend that says, I'm praying for you. And I thought, wow, that's so cool. God, you are so faithful to me, just at the right moment. And I went to brush my teeth, and I looked at myself in the mirror, and the words dropped into my head. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up as wings as eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not grow faint. And I just thought, like, Lord, if you've been faithful from the beginning of my life, you will be enough until the end of my life. And, I always say to anybody, if God can save me, he can save anybody. So if anybody's waiting, don't wait another minute, because God is faithful. He's all that there is. It's all that he's worth. I mean, that's all that's worth anything.